Okay.
We were talking about the warriors.
Yes.
And Anne, you were saying that people even out in the country
helped
often
out.
Helped out.
Yes.
Did you take part by Mrs. Silverholt in any of those?
Some, but not that much because I had small children and I was milking quite a few cows.
How many cows were you milking then?
About 7 or 8.
7 or 8. Yeah. Did you ship cream to Athabasca?
Oh, yes.
Did you? Once a week?
Yes.
How much did you get for a can of cream?
I would think around that time about $12 to $15.
Now this would be in the '40s.
That is in the '40s. Earlier,
right.
I remember getting only $3 to $5. You know,
no, that's right. It got more. Yeah. So that would buy maybe a week's groceries, would they?
Well, then would it, sir? What you got the groceries with.
Exactly. Many farm people use their money from the
and
eggs.
The gas bills were paid by that.
That's right. Eggs? Did you ship eggs?
I did later, but at that time.
Not in the early 40s, see? Later on. Yeah. When did you get your first TV, by the way?
Oh, I think it would be around 1965.
65.
We got power.
Mm-hmm.
Got a TV then.
Did you live, when did you, you had the two-room house originally when you first married. Did you build another house later on?
Well, we moved over to into Walter's grandfather's house, Dexter Overholt's house.
Mm, mm-hmm. So you had more room.
1944, yes.
In 44, mm-hmm. So you had more room.
Yes.
How many acres of land were you
farming
at that time?
A half section.
A half section, eh? So a person could make a fairly decent livelihood on a half section in the 30s and 40s?
More so than you can now.
How much did your husband have to pay for his original farm, do you recall?
$1,000 for 160 acres.
For 160 acres. And you wouldn't
and
have...
It wasn't all cleared, and not the best land. It was peaty soil, but a lot of rocks.
So what kind of crops did you grow on it?
Barley, oats, hay.
Oh, yeah.
Wheat wouldn't ripen, and I couldn't grow cabbages on it.
No cabbages.
The rest of the garden
the
is great.
Peaty soil is
just
no good for cabbages.
Isn't that something?
Soil.
Didn't know that.
Oh, no. Peaty soil won't grow cabbages.
So then did you sell your original quarter?
No.
You still had it and you...
We bought this other.
The other
quarter,
one?
Yes.
So that was after 1944?
Yes.
And what did you pay for another quarter of land then?
$4,000.
So it was already increasing in value, the 4,000. Was it all cleared, though?
No.
It wasn't cleared either, eh?
But about 120 acres.
Oh, so nearly. Mm-hmm.
And that's pretty much the same now.
Yes. I was also going to mention when we were talking about your family, did you come to Athabasca to the hospital to have your babies?
Yes.
You did, all of them?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You don't recall the doctor then either, Denny? Was that Dr. Wright?
Dr. Meyer. Dr. Wright.
Mm-hmm. Later on, sure. And when we were talking about children, did you ever come to a dentist in Athabasca?
Not that often.
No.
Usually when the tooth was aching and you had to do something about it.
Pull it out or something. But do you recall the dentist when your children were growing up?
No.
Was it Dr. McMillan, or the one that used to come out?
Yes, he used to come up from Edmonton once a month.
Oh, so there wasn't a resident dentist.
No, there wasn't.
Dr. McMillan. Mm-hmm. Mm. And we also talked about when your children had scarlet fever, at least your oldest boy. Were there any other times when the children were sick that you had some good old home remedies?
Well, I usually had some medicine on hand, and if they got a nail puncture, which can be dangerous, I would use a linseed poultice.
Linseed poultice.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about that.
Well, you cook the linseed meal and put it hot into a folded piece of cloth, put it on, and keep changing them, heating them in steam. And
it would sort of draw out any maybe poisons or anything. Very good.
And I've used them quite a few times.
I can imagine on the farm you would.
Didn't they also just soak in hot water and salt?
Salt?
Salt and hot water?
A nail puncture. I didn't, that would be used first.
Yes.
And then
the poultice.
Use the poultice after if there's any sign of infection.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned medicines. Yeah. You mentioned medicines. Where would you have, what kind of medicines?
Well, I'd always have something in the line of, I bought Raleigh's.
Yes.
Quite a bit because they come around.
I was going to say, the traveling salesman at that time.
And get ointment and Raleigh's liniment,
yes.
Which you used for a cold.
Mm-hmm.
And you took it with milk, and it was rather hot.
Oh.
But it seemed to
cure it.
And, of course, aspirin was always
You did have aspirin.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. And Castoria, I remember, for babies.
Oh, uh-huh. How often would the Raleigh man come around?
Oh, I imagine about twice a year.
During the summer months.
Old was, eh? Mm-hmm. Oh, isn't that
Well, one old fellow that, he was Raleigh man when I first come, and I remember him talking, he would stay overnight at Orwell's.
Mm-hmm.
He had a club foot, but he couldn't, walk that good for any distance, but he was pedaling, and his feet were getting awfully cold. And Raleigh's ointment is very hot.
Yes.
So he thought maybe that would help keep his feet warm in traveling. So he put it on, and it worked like a charm.
For heaven's sake.
So when he stopped, he would usually, somebody would invite him to stay for dinner. Anyway, he put some more Raleigh's ointment on. He didn't have cold feet all day.
How did he travel, by the way?
Wagon, or horse and sleigh, or
wagon.
Wagon.
He would come in the wintertime, once
yes.
in the winter.
But this old fellow did.
Uh-huh.
But when he went to bed that night, wasn't able to sleep. He had hot feet
all
night.
Oh, good, yes. I guess so. By the way, what else would he be selling that a housewife in those days might want?
Spices.
Spices, flavorings.
Flavorings.
Oh, yes, flavorings, certainly.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, because you would do all your own baking. You wouldn't
yes.
be buying... They had the bakery in Athabasca.
Yes, but very few people from the country ever bought even bread and the other baking.
Is that right?
No, it was
yeah.
always home.
Who had the bakery at that time when you were married, say?
Much.
Much.
J.J. Yes. Much.
Who
was also a magistrate.
Magistrate.
He never... But they wouldn't... I don't think they could have survived... on just the bakery because they had a sort of a cafeteria there.
Yes.
But it, I think, provided a very meager living
mm-hmm,
for them.
Mm-hmm.
And then the fact that he was a magistrate, I think, helped
yes.
supplement their income.
Was that the bakery that Puhatch took over afterwards then?
I believe so, yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But there had been a Johnson that had a bakery in town. Much bought him out.
Oh.
And he lived north of the river.
But had the bakery in Athabasca?
Mm-hmm. Yes. He was about 6 miles out, and he would drive in the morning.
Really?
I don't remember that.
Johnson. What was his first name?
I don't know.
So when would he have operated the bakery? When you came?
No, it was
before
then.
Your time?
Yes.
Oh, but you've heard
the
old
during
world?
The war years and just after the First World War.
Oh, the First World War.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I see. You heard the overfold people talking
yes.
about that.
So
that right?
was before... My time, even.
Sure, well, sure. So by the time you came, you said we were talking about the roads, they were not very good.
Oh,
there were very
they
few. They were very few. There was a road, as you say, going past Gorman's,
yes.
and maybe one
mm-hmm.
into
yes.
the Young Belsati
well,
area.
A lot of the roads were trails. They
just
weren't graded.
Mm-hmm. My goodness.
And I remember even in 1928, Mike was talking about they had. Who did you have, Bill Smalsey, to come up and get you, Mike? From Coleman when you came to Athabasca.
Oh, no, we rented a taxi from Daniel.
Got a taxi from Daniel.
Mm-hmm. He had a taxi?
Daniel had a taxi, and they
Model
came...
Model A Ford.
Model A Ford.
Yes, and because, he had to have some means of taking them from the train,
yes.
in Athabasca to the Saudi, because their uncle was living there already.
Yes.
Mike's uncle
when we left town, the train came in about 6 o'clock. We didn't get out to the farm until around midnight.
Because
oh.
we got hung up on stumps.
Hung up on the stumps on the Peace River Trail, and we all had to get out.
Well, you say the Peace River Trail.
That
went
was the old road
yes.
towards Saudi, the post office.
Mm. It went through by Smith and on up towards Lake.
Here, from town, from the lake there.
The Ford Lake.
The Ford Lake. It used to cut across there and
at an angle.
Bernard Allen's.
Mm. And come out of Bernard Allen's and on to Overholt's.
Oh, I see.
It didn't follow the section.
The present road at all.
No. And
it
did.
It just went through the borders.
It followed the telegraph line, more
yes.
or less.
Yes.
And never crossed the river.
Yes.
It would. Where would it cross
well,
the river?
They used the ferry.
Ferry. There was a ferry
that
here.
Crossed. Oh, ferry. Oh, yeah, but up, it didn't, no. Further on, no. It didn't. It would just continue on north.
No, you went on yes. along the sands there yes. toward DeFord Lake and oh. then kind of northwestward toward where Overholt's lived.
They did cross the Slave River that comes into the Athabasca at Smith. Mm-hmm. They had to cross that. Yeah. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But I'm not sure where.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, the roads were very, very,
very
poor.
Very poor, right. Was there, I was going to ask, at weddings and at parties or dances, was there much drinking?
Very little.
And very small weddings.
For small
yes,
weddings?
Weddings
just
were
families,
usually right? family, and they might have a dance
mm-hmm.
where the
community.
Everyone was invited.
I suppose the community, the people
well,
in
had
the,
yes.
The people in the community or the women in the community prepared the meal.
Oh, yes, they would prepare, everyone would contribute to the lunch.
To the supper, like for the midnight dance.
Is that right?
Dance.
Oh, for a
yeah.
dance.
For
sandwiches
the dance, yeah.
and
oh, yes.
cake,
uh-huh.
or usually.
Right.
But the wedding itself was, all, as a rule, very private.
Very, very private, isn't that? Do you remember any of the orchestras in those days?
We had our local music.
Give us the names of the...
Danny Goodwin was one that played violin, and
violin?
He was terrific.
Was he?
Bernard Allen.
Bruno Bupin.
Yes.
Later on,
and
Wally played the violin after. Johnny Fessick.
Yes, Johnny played the violin. Walter played both the violin and guitar. My
Walter.
Overholt.
Oh, I see, Overholt.
Walter then, Goodwin played the guitar.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And then Sid Tan used to play.
He yes. used to play the fiddle.
Yes, mm-hmm. But he was very...
We are deleting this sentence. Couldn't. Uh-huh. What would the orchestra... Would they be paid?
Like for a wedding dance, they never charged.
They didn't?
No.
Oh, wasn't that nice?
And some of the dances, they would get a dollar each.
Dollar each.
In the 30s.
Oh.
But,
so what did you have to pay to come to a dance? Then a quarter or 50 cents?
I don't really know. I think they just took up a collection.
Oh, I see.
Uh-huh. Another person that played the violin was Oscar Hagen when he came.
Yes, but that was
to the yes to
later.
The in the 40s already.
Mm-hmm. Now are you speaking?
Yeah. Oh no, pardon me. In the 30s, because it was when I was going to Big Cooley School.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Well, the Hagen that used to live at Deep Creek then.
Yes.
Oh, I see.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about clothing for a minute. Did you recall the kind of clothing you wore and the changes in clothing? Do you recall ever
style?
Yes, we're talking about style now.
Well, in the 30s, skirts were long, over halfway down to the ankles.
Halfway down to the ankles.
Mm-hmm. Over.
Or over. Do you recall ever where the dresses, or say the formal dresses, or you know, type of clothing you'd wear when you went out to a dance or a wedding, were they ever right down to the floor?
Yes, but very few people could afford to buy them.
Oh, I see.
So if anyone... in our area had them. Somebody had given them.
Oh, I see. They were
but mostly you wore whatever were your best clothes,
mm-hmm.
and it was usually something that you could wear to town or to
yes,
church.
Yes, uh-huh. So they were, they cost, you wouldn't remember the cost of a long dress.
No,
but it was too much, you'd have to more
well,
or less
yes,
inherit it or have it,
would,
you know, give it to you.
That would be using money for something you could only use a few times,
and there were too many other things
yes.
people needed in those days. Sure, shoes. I suppose
mm-hmm.
you didn't get
well
too often.
No, only when necessary, and sometimes not then.
Is that
but in the winter, we wore moccasins.
Did
and,
you
rubber?
Oh, it was the
moccasin rubbers, which
moccasin rubbers.
Yes,
rubbers to
covering the moccasins.
Yes.
They
Where
were.
Did,
they were just like
yes.
a. A rubber overshoe,
yes,
you know.
Yes, yes. Where did you get your moccasins?
There was a store called Hingley's in town. You
oh,
could
yes.
always get them there.
Could you?
Mm-hmm.
Made by the Indian people
yes.
in the area?
Mm-hmm. Or you could get cowhide moccasins in the catalog, Eatons or Simpsons.
Could you?
Yeah. And then, pardon me for interrupting again, there was also the Indian people would come down from Calling Lake, especially
mm-hmm.
around our way, and they would just door to door.
Would they
peddle the moccasins?
Would they? How much would you have to pay for a pair of moccasins, say, for the, to the Indian people?
I don't.
Did
know.
Any of them peddle around
no.
your way? They didn't,
no.
eh?
No, but there was. You know,
yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And then sometimes they would, you know, they'd have quite an assortment of sizes. And
yes.
And some were fancy.
Fancy beaded.
Yes.
Yes.
I don't think that they were very expensive, a dollar or two, but mm-hmm. then, you know, even they, then we couldn't afford it a lot
couldn't.
Of time, but they were very, very good.
And they would last a long
yes.
time.
Mm-hmm. Well, the men, even to going to dances in the wintertime, they would wear Indian moccasins.
Would they?
To a dance.
And just take off the rubbers and dance
yes.
away.
Oh, yes. Oh,
and
yes.
what did they do? Did they take the wax on those old school floor or the
yes.
whole hall and
mm-hmm.
whack? Take
they
for
used
the
paraffin wax.
Paraffin
and
wax
shaved it.
And shaved it yeah. to make it slippery.
And that floor was slippery.
That was
anybody
right.
have any accidents?
Oh, yes. And two girls from town, they were... The floor of the hall was wide planks.
Oh, yes.
And they thought these looked terrible, you know, they weren't narrow like a nice hardwood floor.
Mm-hmm.
And they were saying what a terrible floor that was. They got up and started dancing, and both of them sat down.
Plop, they went, eh? And in those, now, the both of them together, you mean the two girls together?
No.
Oh, I was
going
to say. But, you know...
But and at different times.
Different times. But years ago, it seems to me... There sometimes two girls danced or two ladies mm-hmm. would dance. Nobody ever thought of anything of it, did they?
Well,
or did they?
They did.
Oh,
yes.
They did.
I was never allowed to dance with a girl.
Is that a fact?
You just didn't do it.
Your parents told you not.
Yes.
Did they give you a reason?
You dance with the man.
You just it was not
socially
a proper thing.
Incorrect.
Wasn't that incorrect? Mm-hmm. Well, and yet you did see it every once in a while,
oh, yes.
didn't you?
Well, that you saw more during the Second World War because
the
men
were scarce.
In the 40s.
A lot of the older men didn't go to the dances then. They were working hard, they were tired.
Mm-hmm.
And there wouldn't be that many men to dance
the young
with.
Boys were all overseas.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I see. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
sure. Makes sense.
But in the 30s, I know different times that the men would comment on two girls dancing together.
They would,
and
eh?
Quite often. Two of them would get up and break it up.
Break them up. Isn't that something?
Mm-hmm. I don't ever recall seeing girls, you know, dancing together, even as children,
mm-hmm.
when we were going
yeah.
With parents.
You danced with a little boy.
Yeah. Except during the war years.
Mm-hmm.
That's when I
yeah.
first
That's
saw
when it's
that, yes.
Oh, I see. When we were speaking of Indians from Colling Lake, did you ever have the Indian people or Métis people working for you?
I don't think so.
No farm.
Well, after my son was farming, he had a couple of years. He had Indian.
So that would have been in the
yes.
50s now,
mm-hmm.
or something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. So you didn't have any. Mm-hmm.
You mentioned when you lost your husband.
Okay. Now, if the children are grown up, yes. When did you lose your husband, Mrs. Overholt?
He died April the 8th, 1952.
52. So how old was your youngest child then?
About 2 and a half.
Oh dear. That must have been quite a difficult...
Norman, the oldest boy, was 16.
Oh, my goodness.
And he, you know...
Took over the farm. Oh, gosh, that was hard then. So you had to more or less raise the family on your own.
Yes, but then if they got in trouble, I knew who was to blame.
Isn't that something? You would say you took the blame yourself, did you?
Well,
what else would you have to? Isn't that something? My goodness, where are they all living now? Of course, Norman has passed away,
yes,
unfortunately.
And Bob is at Fort Vermilion. He's with AGT.
AGT.
Pat is in Edmonton. She's an RN and works at the University Hospital.
Oh.
Jerry is in Winnipeg. He's with the Canadian Imperial Bank.
Gerald.
Mm-hmm.
And Alan is with AGT, and
right.
he lives on
oh,
the
yes.
farm.
He lives on the farm here now with AGT. Well, what did you think was the hardest hardest thing about bringing up the family in those days by yourself?
There was a lot of hard things, and yet the children cooperated
did
really
they?
Well.
Mm-hmm.
And I would discuss what had to be done, what money had to be used for, and they knew what was going on.
Did they?
And they never really made extra demands for money because they knew it wasn't there.
That's right, yeah. Did you have to have hired help or did the neighbors
no.
help out?
Well, not very much, but if we were really stuck, they would.
They would, yeah. So by the time your son took over farming, did you have more or less all the machinery that you needed?
Yes.
Did Norman take over that bus route then?
No, not for... possibly 3 years after the bus started running.
Did he work off the farm at all? Or
he worked in the bush for...
Oh, he did, eh?
Yeah, that's what I thought.
During the winter?
Yes.
In the lumber camp?
Yes.
Supplement the income.
Oh, I see. Yes, a lot of people did that.
Because we had machinery that wasn't paid for. We had a farm that wasn't paid for.
Oh, sure.
And at that time, there was no insurance on, you know...
Your husband died, there was no insurance to help
cover? No, he didn't have insurance, but there wasn't this insurance with the bank to cover loans or machinery, you know, which is a wonderful help.
So you did have to borrow money from the bank to pay, like most people in those days?
No, I never went to the bank.
You didn't?
Well, with his working in the bush in the winter, we were able to keep the payments up.
See, it was payments like for the land that they had purchased from... the family. So
yeah, oh, that's true.
And payments on truck and tractor.
We're just on the sort of...
And he would earn enough money in the winter to make the payments, but didn't have any spending money much.
No.
And we milked cows, and at that time I had eggs to sell.
Mm-hmm.
But that paid for gas for the tractor and groceries. And
right. Do you recall what year did the was there an attempt by the farmers to unionize?
It was through Goodell.
I want to hear about that.
A strike.
Yes.
Went on.
Now, can you give us the year? Was that in the 40s?
Yes, it was in the 40s.
Was it in the 40s?
It was after the war.
In 38 or 39, just before the war.
It was after the war. But. What I found rather odd about the strike, it was in September.
Mm-hmm.
We were while we were harvesting up in this area. But the strike was on in southern Alberta, but the farmers had all sold their grain.
By that time?
Yes. And the farmers up here were trying to harvest. And their income was for food and what have you, was from the milking the cows, and we weren't supposed to sell any cream.
Right.
And there was, I think there was two fellows in this area went to jail for roughing up some people that were bringing cream to town, and the one was a black woman from Amber Valley. A widow, she had three children.
Oh, dear.
And that's what she
had to live
fed.
On. Oh,
and then the sad part of it was the leaders that were the farm union heads were the worst culprits. They sneaked in at night with their produce and they tried to tell the others
how to do this.
Yeah. That's right, it was during the war years because remember we churned crocks and crocks of cream. Churned and made crocks and crocks of butter, salted it down and put it down the well because the men were in the bush.
Yeah.
And then we used it all winter.
Oh, my.
Because actually wasted it.
No, but you didn't get any money for it.
No.
How long did it last? I know it wasn't successful.
I don't know if it lasted more than a month.
I don't think so. About a month.
McAlvey's, they were selling 2 5- or 8-gallon cans of cream a week.
Mm-hmm. Oh, dear.
What can you do with that much cream?
Yeah.
They had a bunch of pigs, and they fed
it
all
the pigs.
Oh, my goodness.
But I know we didn't have that much. We were milking, Mike and I were at the time. We didn't have that much, and we just churned it all up. We didn't throw it out.
But I can see the difference in southern Alberta, say in northern Alberta, and it's pretty hard to coordinate strike.
And then in southern Alberta, it was more agricultural.
That's right.
Just grain farming, whereas here is
mixed
farming.
So it just didn't work.
We're the ones that got hit.
Sure.
And down there, a good share of the harvest was
already
over, and they, at that time, they could haul their grain.
No problem.
Right to the elevator.
Sure. There was no problem. So they got their payments and expected you people then to carry on with the strike. It just wouldn't work. No. I should say not. Do you remember any sewing bees or any times where women in particular would gather and do a chore?
I have been to quite a number of quilting bees. Put the top and bottom of the quilt with the wool in, sew that all up.
Mm-hmm. How many women would get together?
Well, there might be about 10, but actually about 8 is all that can sit down to sew.
And you do most of this by hand, of course?
Yes,
all of it
by hand.
Yes, yes. And that would, you'd use the wool that you yourselves probably mm-hmm. carded?
Yes.
Wash the wool? Mm-hmm. Carded it?
Yes, it's rather smelly if you don't wash it, but good.
Yes, but good. How would you go about washing that? What kind of soap? Did you use any special method?
No, whatever soap I was using. But I would soak the wool first in cool water and then take it, wring it out of that and wash it through at least two suds.
Yes, because...
And then rinse it and...
Sheep wool is so greasy.
Depending on how dirty it was, you have to really wash it. Mm-hmm. Before you even put soap on it, you had to soak it to get, and take a lot of the straw
and things out,
chaff
yeah.
out of it
right.
first. And then even when you were carding it, there was still straw and chaff in it that you had to take out.
You said you kept sheep on the farm. Did you eat the meat?
Yes.
You did, eh?
I've even butchered them.
Have you? Yourself? My goodness.
Only at first. Well, I had no. I knew how to butcher them and that the wool must not touch the meat or it gives it an awfully bad flavor. But there was this one, the leader of sheep, and she had been such a pest. So one day I got fed up with her and I butchered her. My husband was down at Fort McMurray that summer, and another one took over right away. No difference.
No difference. So how would you butcher? You'd had your own special knife, and
first I shot her.
You did shoot her. I was wondering if you just butchered with using
the
knife
then,
or shot. Most people,
a
sheep
isn't that heavy. So
it was easy to put the carcass up.
Their throats, though, didn't you?
You'd immediately, yeah. But I guess most farm people at that time would shoot the animal first.
Yes.
And then.
Although I've heard of some of them that didn't have guns, that they would hit them on the head and knock them out.
Yes.
But, that was only in rare instances where they didn't have access to a gun.
Yeah.
And then there's the ones that weren't a good shot.
Oh, dear.
And they usually would take the pig out of the pan because it's very hard to get out.
Mm-hmm.
If it's 200 pounds or
yes.
not. And if they hit it in the head but not kill it, then they've got fun chasing it around the yard.
Chasing it around the yard, yes.
Maybe over the neighbors.
I suppose. Lots of fun.
It's pathetic sometimes.
Yeah. You didn't have too much trouble, though, with animals that were hurt or sick in those days, especially after your husband died? No, you had no real big problems. No.
Not that much.
When did you get your first car?
Well, my husband had a truck
during
the 40s.
Mm-hmm.
And we've had a vehicle of some type ever since.
Ever since, yeah. Did you do, Anne, you had mentioned something about telegraph operator or telephone operator. Is that, or no, you worked in the post office.
Yes.
Tell us about that. When did you start work in the post office?
I believe it would be 1945, I took over as postmistress.
Did you?
And it was like a two-hour job on Friday and
over the weekend.
Saturday.
I see. Who delivered the mail? You'd come into town?
Yes, and bring it back.
Walter would be the mail carrier.
You'd have to. I see. So it was a matter of, say, a day or two.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes.
How many people would you be serving there then?
Well, for quite a while it was the whole district.
The whole district.
And then gradually some that were coming to town once or twice a week, they started getting mail in town.
Right.
And they closed the post office in 1956.
56. By then, I suppose the roads were better and more people had vehicles and came into town more often.
That was, shall we say, the...
End of the community?
It did. Well, the school.
The school did it first,
more
yes.
More than that. But the government decided these... small local post offices were unnecessary. Everyone could go to town.
Oh, I see.
And just as now, they're deciding we don't need a railroad.
Mm-hmm. What were you paid by the month?
Yes.
Could you tell us your wage?
Well, I was paid every 3 months. $25 for 3 months.
Oh, my goodness. But it was a nice little supplement.
Hauling the mail, after my husband died, Norman
took over.
Hauled the mail, and he got $12, and then it went up to $18, I believe.
Oh, for hauling it. Yes, yes.
But you have to bid.
Oh, did you?
Put in a bid on it. And
to haul the meal?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
It'd come up for bid every 5 years.
Oh, every five. When your young son, Norman, had to get the license for driving, was it much of a problem?
No, at that time you just went to Mr. Mutch and answered his questions, and he gave you the driver's license.
And gave him some money?
Oh, yes.
How much did you have to pay?
I would think $5.
Five.
I thought it was $1. $1?
I don't know.
That's what I thought.
Mike?
Could be.
How much did a person have to pay for a driver's license?
Like for the, say, in the 30s? Years ago. Was it just, was it always $5 or was it $1 at first?
I could have been one. I
can
remember paying three.
Three? You can remember paying three.
Well, Mutch had to get $1 out of it.
Out of
that was
income.
His fee for each
yes.
license.
But it was under $5.
Mm-hmm.
Now, whether it was,
it was three,
at one time, now whether it was maybe even as low as $2 before, I don't know. But I know, like Mike was saying, it was $3.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, it seems to me, Jean, when we were married already, when you had to renew a license, you only paid
one.
When you wanted to get your driver's license. And if you had it, and then you renewed it, I'm sure I paid $1.
$1.
Yeah, but that was for renewing it, of course. That wasn't your original. But he didn't have to take a road test or anything?
No. Mm-hmm.
Isn't that something?
And I was so stupid. I never got my driver's license.
When you had the chance.
I've never taken a driver's test. You know.
No. I did, and I didn't like it.
No.
Well, I mean, in those days, as long as you could ride, you know,
yes.
drive vehicles, that's all that was necessary.
Well,
they took your word for it.
Right. Well, on the farm, too, I think children learn to drive, say, the tractor and whatnot.
Well,
so
I think they asked you how many miles you had driven.
Mm-hmm.
And if you had driven over 500 miles, you were entitled to a license without any questions asked.
I see. Interesting.
But I remember after I was married, and I, you know, made trips into town and that, and they asked you, have you driven for how long? And I said, I don't know, it was 4 or 5 years. And you said, you've never had an accident? And I said, no.
No problem.
No problem.
No problem.
No questions asked.
No, that was good. How would you, just going back.
I got my driver's license. And we bought that cargo truck from Charlie Bix.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think I drove maybe 4 or 5 miles. And this is the only way I get a driver's license. But if that's okay, I'll go with you. So Mutch was filling out the paper, and I don't know what he told him. I guess he told him I was a good driver or something. I got my driver's license.
Charlie Fix?
Charlie Fix would have been the fellow that had the garage at that time, and he sold the Ford vehicles.
Yes.
Would there have been any other merchants, any other people in town who sold vehicles at that time? Besides Charlie Fix Sr., that is now.
Yes.
Nelson's garage on the corner here.
Sold Dodge, Now, what about
Dodge.
The Shafricks? What were they?
They
were farmers, and they used to do custom combining, didn't they?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
But they never had a...
No. Mm-hmm. Oh, sure. Well, Falconer didn't. He had the farm implements.
Yeah. Yes, but not the trucks.
Tiny Shaw was married to a Shafrick daughter.
Oh, I see.
Oh, was he?
And then this Shaw was a good Massey Harris man after he quit teaching school.
Oh.
Yeah, he was in Toronto for a long time.
Tiny Shaw.
And that's where he came when he came back to Athabasca after he had retired.
Oh.
And then he went back to teaching.
Back to teaching, that's right. And then until he passed away very suddenly. Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm.
I know. When you were bringing up your children, did you have any favorite type of games that the children played? Did you have any songs or lullabies that you sang to your children?
Well, I'd sing lullabies. I'm not sure what put them to sleep, because I haven't got a good voice. But I did a lot of reading.
Did you? To the children,
yes.
Did you?
Mm-hmm.
You had books at home?
Oh, yes.
Where would you get your books?
Well, Mrs. McKelvey and I did a lot of reading. And would swap books and change books with different ones.
That was nice to read to the children.
After the children were, around 1940, I would buy them at least one book each for Christmas.
Would you?
And, of course, I could, the fairy tales,
yes.
I could tell them without a book.
Without a book, sure, they probably enjoy those, eh?
I remember, like with us, we grew up with a Sunday school by post.
Oh, yes.
As young children ourselves. And then Diane and John, the two oldest children, still got Sunday school by post. And I remember that was that was among their favorite stories in childhood.
Sure. Bible story. Go ahead.
That book I was telling you about.
Yes.
Grant McEwen is the writer.
Oh, Grant McEwen.
Yes.
That was John Ware?
Yes,
John W-A-R-E, Ware. Isn't it? Oh, I'm going to check the library here.
And I was going to bring that to Silence of the North in for you. I got the book.
Forgot about that.
I have the Silence of the North.
John Ware, he was that Negro?
Yes.
Yes, the Negro.
I was in his cabin. They've moved it from out in the country at Dutchess into the Brooks Dinosaur Park.
Yes.
And it was very interesting.
I want to read that.
Well, why did you want the Silence of the North by...
Well, she hasn't read it.
Oh, I haven't read it. I saw the movie.
Well, we have the book.
And
if you want it.
Mrs. Overholt was saying that how different it was from the book, although I guess, you know, most often does happen, doesn't it? Did you have any superstitions in those days?
I don't think so.
Nobody had any?
I would, some of them, like my foster mother, was what might be called a medium.
Medium, is that?
She could once in a while see things, and when she did, she would see her father and a door or in the house if the door was shut, and he would tell her that some member of the family had died.
Really?
And when she would get a letter, and that included her brother, a couple of aunts, it
was true.
Was true, and they had died within 5 minutes of when she saw her father.
And this was more
just,
than... Good heavens. This was more than just a premonition, then.
It wasn't a premonition.
Is that...
And, well, I would love to have that experience, but...
Would you really?
Yes.
Is that right? You're not afraid of that sort of thing?
No.
You haven't seen any flying saucers around your place?
Yes.
Excuse me? Really?
Yes. I don't know what they were, but...
Explain.
Well,
When was that?
I've seen them about four times. It would be in the 60s.
Yes.
But they were low down. I mean, I suppose a few thousand feet up. But they weren't, you know, way up. And the light was reflecting off them, and they were traveling at median to fast speed. They were, and I believe, as near as I can remember, they were all coming from the northwest going toward the southeast.
And one at a time?
Yes, at different times.
At different times? It was summer or winter that you'd see them?
It would be summer, because other than when I have to be out, I'm not,
you're not
in the
out.
Winter.
And what made you think they were flying saucers?
Because I couldn't explain them any other way.
There certainly wasn't an airplane?
No, it was big.
How big?
And there was a glow around it, but it looked round.
Really?
But, I mean, they were up quite a distance, and yet I'd read there was a lot seen at that time.
Yes.
And they said they were around... These things the Russians put up.
Oh, the...
They were down...
Sputnik,
yes,
yeah. Like
they were down too close to be satellites.
Oh, yes. Did you ever report those?
Nobody
believed you anyway, I was going to say.
If I found one, I might let them know.
But we've seen, like Mike and I have seen the satellites.
Yes, the satellites.
But they were, small.
Yes.
Yes.
Well, this was big.
For goodness sake.
Bigger than an aeroplane would be.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know any other people in the area that claim to have seen them?
Yes.
In your area? Mm-hmm. Is that right?
Well, at least twice when I saw them, there was about five people.
Is that
out
so?
In the field.
Who was that? Who else?
Norman, Bob, Jerry. And Bill Bezalo.
Bill who?
Bezalo.
Is that right?
He had seen it too.
Yeah, he was helping us.
Oh, yes.
And we were loading hay on the rack.
My goodness.
He acted a little scared.
Was he? I was just joking, but now I see that. was there ever a church in Saudi?
No, there never was. But for over 20 years, the minister would come. Well,
United Church minister.
United Church minister would come out once a month.
But
the first 20 years, he came to Overholt's
right
house,
to the home.
And they had church there.
Mm.
I believe it would be either the first or last Sunday of the month. I'm not sure.
And the minister was?
Well, when I was there, Mr. Houston was
Houston.
Minister.
Mm-hmm.
And he would come to the house. But after that, they went to either Saudi Hall or the school.
Mm-hmm. And that, so the
once
time,
a month.
The whole time you remember, that was Reverend Hughes.
Mm. Well,
was one of them.
That was one of them.
Can you name others that came later?
Was it Stark?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Oh, Mr. Reverend Stark came out. I went to school with John Stark, the son, yeah.
And
he was one of the later ones, I think.
Yeah, he would be one of the later ones. Hmm.
I can't think of who replaced Reverend Houston.
There wasn't a Hutchins? No. Catherine, I think Catherine.
She may know some of them.
Yes.
She would know because she and her mother were, you know, quite involved in the church.
Oh, yes.
Yes, she would. There was a young man here with a young family. And one day he was very embarrassed. I don't know why. A little two-year-old girl had taken all her clothes off and then went for a walk down the street.
In town here?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And for a two-year-old, that's
not unusual. No.
And after he left here, and I can't think of his name, his wife left him.
Oh, is that right?
Very hard on the minister.
Now, you're speaking of, now, what's the connection here? This young man who had the daughter?
Yeah, that was, he had two daughters.
Uh-huh.
And I suppose it was problems, which there is in any marriage at times.
Uh-huh.
And she took off with another man.
Oh, I see. But this had no connection to the minister we're talking about.
There's was his wife.
Well, that was his wife. Oh, I see. Oh, dear. So that wasn't awfully good for the minister then, was it? I mean, it wouldn't have looked good in those days because that wasn't such a common thing.
No, especially for ministers.
Yes, that's right.
Of course, wasn't all that common with anyone.
No, it wasn't common for anyone. This is what I'm saying. So it would have been an unusual thing. So before we end this, because we're getting on to 4:45, what are the comforts and pleasures that you enjoy most today, Mrs. Overholt?
A queen-size bed.
Mm-hmm.
A TV.
Mm-hmm.
Telephone that I can usually get on.
Mm-hmm.
At one time, we had 15 people
members
on the
party line.
Yeah, on the
party
line.
You don't have a party line anymore.
Two.
Yes, most farm people have two.
We have four.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But,
have you traveled?
Oh, yes. Every couple of years or so, I go to Eastern Canada and into Michigan. And,
you don't have any family in Eastern Canada? Oh,
sister-in-law.
Oh, do you?
And, some other Overholt relatives
I
visit.
Oh, good. Mm-hmm.
And I've got a son in Winnipeg, and I try to get down once or twice a year.
Mm-hmm. Do you enjoy flying?
No, not that much.
But you do fly?
No.
Oh, you
I have flown once. And I usually go by train.
By train.
That I enjoy.
Do you?
I get a berth, and I like visiting. I actually like the day coach better, but can't lay down, and I feel I need to now.
Yes, that's true.
Mm-hmm. But I can always find someone to visit with.
Oh, you enjoy visiting.
And with one exception, I've met some very nice people.
I suppose, except the one, eh?
Yeah.
Yes, I guess that happens, doesn't it? Well, any regrets then?
Your regret about not being able to have seen or visited with your father?
Yes,
that was one.
Yes, and there's always some things that you feel you should have done or
differently. Or,
yes,
I suppose everybody has that, but nothing really outstanding. Yeah, and. I guess just before we end, do you have any other comments or any other recollections that you'd like to, any stories?
Not really. No. I can't think of any right
now. It's pretty hard to really think of just on the spur of the moment. But Times have changed considerably in the last few years.
Haven't they ever?
From the time you came and had to cross the river on the ferry or the cage in the spring and fall.
And I can remember going to my grandparents' place in Manitoba and crossing a river there with a wagon.
Oh,
I don't remember.
Forging the river.
Yes. Yeah. And the water came in the box, and there was two very scared little kids there. That's all I remember,
remember
this water coming up, and I thought we were going to end up in the river.
My goodness.
Was that the overhauled relative?
No, that was my grandfather, my own grandfather.
Your real grandfather.
Blood grandfather. Mm.
When you traveled in the winter, I should have asked you that back there, did you ever have one of those little caboose-type...
No, we never did. Mm. We just had an open sleigh.
Mm-hmm. How did you keep warm? Lots of blankets?
Blankets, more than likely a couple
rocks.
Of hot rocks.
Hot rocks. Bricks or rocks? Did anybody ever use hot bricks?
Yes, sometimes.
But
the rocks were bigger, and you get them hot, they stay hot longer.
Oh, sure. Mm-hmm.
More solid, whereas the brick is
porous
and doesn't hold the heat.
Yeah. So you didn't have maybe as tough a life when you came as some, would you say? Or did you?
Well, I don't think so. I had pretty much the same life as, you know, most of the neighbors in that area.
Although some neighbors there, or some people, were already established when you came, so their lives probably were a little different when they first came to Homestead.
But, yes, have to clear the land.
Mm-hmm.
You haven't any income while you're doing that.
That's the problem, isn't it?
Yes.
To clear the land.
It is really rough to homestead.
Really difficult, that's right. Yeah. Anything else, Anne, that we missed?
I don't think so. I tried to sort of interject every time.
Yeah.
I thought that I should mention something, but I haven't really thought of...
No church, there are funerals...
We're
in Athabasca.
There was no cemetery.
No cemetery. Mm-hmm. Well, there is a cemetery. We were just talking about it the other day at Grayville, but not at Saudi.
And, of course, up north.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
Richmond Park.
Yes.
But none of the Saudi people were buried at Grayville.
There was... the only one I know of is...